morning. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. A famous quote by President Franklin Roosevelt. This took place at his 1933 presidential inauguration. He said, "So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror. In every dark hour," he continued to say, "in every dark hour of our national life, a leadership of frankness and of vigor has met with that understanding and support of the people themselves, which is essential to victory. And I am convinced that you will again give that support to leadership in these critical days." The context in which Roosevelt made this speech was the Great Depression, that the U.S. was plunged into following the Wall Street crash of 1929. And the point was that a positive mental attitude would help to prevent the worst possible outcome from materializing. But before that, in the 17th century, Francis Bacon wrote, "Nothing is terrible except fear itself." Then in the 19th century, Henry David Thoreau wrote in his journal entry for September of 1851, he said, "Nothing is so much to be feared as fear." Henry David Thoreau was an American philosopher, poet, and environmentalist scientist. So if you carry fear with you, I suspect you are not alone. Today's Sunday talk is on fearlessness. Let me share what the Master M says about fear. He gives us examples of those who are fearless, and those in our spiritual traditions such as Helena Rourke, whom he calls Urasvati, and Nupasika, who is Helena Blavatsky. He said, "Urasvati, Helena Rourke, carries fearlessness in her heart. We affirm that this quality is accumulated through faith and lengthy experience." Nupasika was an example of complete fearlessness in her life. She was courageous in all circumstances, and no fear could intrude. The life of Nupasika was filled with occasions for fear. "It was sad to see," he said, "how many persecutions came together, how her name was slandered. She had no means, and accusers threatened her from all sides. Verily, she was a touchstone of fearlessness." One can cite many such examples throughout the ages. "Every one of us," he said, "has frequently had occasion to show such fearlessness. It should not be thought," he said, "that we are protected on our earthly lives from all onslaughts of darkness. Those who fulfill an earthly mission do so under earthly conditions. People usually think that we dwell in safety and think of us as supernatural beings. Relatively speaking, we can overcome much. But this battle is a real one. We remain victorious because the hierarchy of light cannot be conquered by darkness." He says, "We travel on far-off worlds where we gather many lessons in fearlessness. The alien conditions of the planet's unusual atmospheres can affect the heart of the visitor. Our sister Earth's body knows the sensations of these distant flights. She knows the particularly difficult feeling upon the return of the subtle body. There are always complications, and much courage is needed during these experiences. One should consult our records of these distant flights to recognize the degree of daring that they require. He continues saying, "You can imagine our joy in finding workers worthy of our trust. Their striving spirits do not fear being tested. Only hypocrites fear that the ray of light might penetrate into the depths of their being. Open hearts form a beautiful necklace for the higher worlds. On the path of self-perfectment, the subject of the subconscious is of serious interest to those spiritual students who are working on themselves. Those who are undergoing the process of transmutation and transformation. So why is this? Fear. Fear is a major element in a person's subconscious mind. There is fear of death, failure, and defeat. Fear of political and economic conditions. Fear collected from our past relationships. Fear of insecurity. Fear of the unknown, and many other fears. For those of you who do not yet have an understanding of what the subconscious is, I'm going to take a few minutes to define the subconscious according to the teaching. The subconscious mind is located in what we call the lower mental plane. Esoterically, these levels, according to the teaching, are called levels under the threshold. Under the threshold of the mind. More specifically, the levels under the threshold are from the most dense to the more refined. Would start with the seventh, and then the sixth, and then the fifth levels of the mental plane, forming the levels under the threshold. These are the levels of the subconscious, what we call the subconscious or the subconscious mind. Now we have the conscious mind, and the level of the conscious mind refers to the fourth subplane. We have seven subplanes, so the fourth level is the conscious, where the conscious mind seems to reside and resonate. Thus, the fourth subplane of the mental plane, and it's referred to as the conscious mind. So we have the subconscious on the seventh, sixth, and fifth subplanes, and then we have the conscious mind, which is on the fourth. Now, the third and second and first level, or subplanes of the mental plane, is understood as your higher mind. So that's the whole gamut, from the densest to the most refined of the mental plane. But we're talking about fear resides in the subconscious, that seventh, sixth, and fifth levels or subplanes of the mental plane. In our non-conscious moments, this is important to think about, non-conscious moments, whatever we feel, whatever we imagine, whatever thought forms we identify ourselves with, go into the subconscious mind. This data accumulates there, age after age, life after life, especially fear. Many of these accumulations are the root cause of our fears. Fears that we must eliminate if we want to experience the heights of the supermundane world. These accumulations occur during certain unconscious or non-conscious moments in our lives, such as, this is an important list to make note of, when we suffer. These accumulations begin when we suffer, because when we are suffering, we're in a non or unconscious moment. When we are worried, when we fall into anxiety, when we are in the grip of fear or hatred, when we fall into slander or treason. Isn't that interesting? When we slander or fall into treason, these are unconscious or non-conscious moments that go into the subconscious. And when we are insulted or defeated, when we have failed or have been beaten down, when we live in vanity, and when we see horror, and when we are under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or even anesthesia, are all non-conscious moments. And these moments accumulate life after life and go into that subconscious. What is interesting about fear is that not only does a person's subconscious mind register things while they are going through their day-to-day lives, but also while they are asleep at night. For example, sometimes you meet with negative conditions in the astral plane, just like what you experience in the physical plane. During these moments, you collect astral events in the subconscious. Certain frightening dreams, attacks from your enemies, or dark forces go directly into the subconscious if you are not awake on the astral plane. In other words, if you are not conscious on the astral. Some dark forces project very depleting, destructive images into your subconscious, which eventually affects your life in the most innocuous, sneaky ways. For example, some people are happy and content just to sit in front of their TV set or computer and watch movies about serious and dark levels of crime and violence and ugliness and horror. The entire movie then sinks into their subconscious. Movies of ugliness, sex, drinking, crime, horror, and violence are attracting the largest audiences. If you happen to have a subscription to Netflix, Netflix lists out the top 10 most popular movies or series, you know, of the moment. And when I first thought, oh, this is great, I don't have to go searching around on Netflix, I could just go to the top 10. Well, in my life, they would be at the lowest of the low. Violence, sex, nudity, smoking. I mean, every single one. Of those, well, there's, of course, exceptions, but typically, you know, typically, we don't want to sit there. I mean, if you're going to watch, okay, watch, but don't be asleep. Don't fall asleep. Be aware. Maybe approach from an educational point of view. But the best is just don't watch. There are plenty of other good movies and programs out there without getting pulled into, you know, elements that are going to sink into our subconscious and stay there for lifetimes. When the subconscious mind accumulates a sufficient amount of events, what happens is it begins to slowly block our conscious mind. It takes control. The subconscious takes control and rules our life. Even if we have 10% of our conscious mind left, the subconscious blocks that as well and dominates our life. So we can see what is happening to humanity, to the world. We must learn about these things and then try to change them, starting with ourselves. We must carefully and seriously study the teaching about the nature of the subconscious, and then boldly look at ourselves to look at especially the root of our fears that are stored in that subconscious. Fear is like the tentacles of an octopus in a person's subconscious. It relates almost every element of the subconscious mind to everything else. This is why the major trigger and push button in our mind is fear. People in prominent, influential positions who know this fact manipulate us by using their formula of fear. So we need to try to observe these things. Even when you go to a doctor, you know, the doctor may not be so aware of what he is doing or she is doing, but when you go, normally when people go into the doctor's office to receive a diagnosis, they're full of fear days before they go in and make that appointment. Then they go in and sit down for the appointment, and the doctor delivers the news, and all they will hear is one negative statement. And it doesn't make any difference what else is being said. They've globbed on because it's a trigger word, fear, in the subconscious. And they walk out of there only remembering the one word. So we want to train ourselves to be fearless by observing the root cause of fear in our subconscious. Those who make a pledge to their soul or teacher to stay on the path, in spite of all difficulties, draw energy from the hierarchy. Those who are fearless make it, like Helena Rourke, like H.P. Blavatsky, and like others. And one day, these great ones see that they do not enjoy life without a battle against oppositional forces like fear. The subconscious mind has many layers, and it is the best policy to dig them out intelligently and then to annihilate them. To control the currents of subconscious elements, we need to use keen observation and nobility, and to stand or to stay in our spiritual principles. Once you are afraid, or once the fear penetrates into your subconscious, it is then your subconscious begins its mobilization and releases the elements of fear and associated images and imagination. Dark forces use fear to occupy and to possess us. Some of our dreams and nightmares are the result of their projections, which associated with the fears already in our subconscious, create horrors and paralysis in our life. A master speaking about fear gave us certain formulas, which he says can be used very effectively. One of them is a mantra, which must be repeated daily, many times with concentration, faith, and willpower. And it's a mantra you all know. Let reality govern my every thought, and truth be the master of my life. It's that one line statement or mantra. He also gave us another formula. It's a little more complicated, but you can still practice it and try it out. So this formula starts with us by stilling our physical body, just like we do in meditation, you know, still the physical body, quiet the astral body, and then link up with the higher self and reason out the proper method of procedure in meeting the fear. Having exhausted all the higher rational methods and having clearly seen your course of action, you know, this is it's a process. Then you can raise your vibration as high as possible and call down the light from the intuitional body onto the situation. If your intuition and reasoning faculty produce harmony, then proceed, knowing as an esoteric fact that nothing can happen but what is for the best. You are being guided, and the one who sees the end for the beginning will make no error. Such an exercise brings in the fiery current of light from the Buddhic plane, the plane of intuition, and burns away accumulations of fear, not only in the subconscious, but also correspondingly to the astral plane. It also burns the sediments of fear circulating in the bloodstream. But know this, there are, of course, sources of fear that only our teacher or master can fight against. And they often provide a shield for our protection. Many years ago, a person that I know was engaged in battle with one that we would call of occult power or a black magician. The battle was taking place on the astral plane. The magician would visit my friend, trying to subjugate him, to bring him under the Dark One's control. My friend eventually went to his teacher about the situation, and the teacher said he would go to battle for him and not to worry. That evening, my friend was able to watch that battle take place in the astral plane. In seconds, the connecting link between the Dark One was broken, and with the sword of the protection by the teacher, between the Dark One and the one that he was attacking. So the sword of protection by the teacher broke that link between the two. Since that time, my friend can now personally engage in such battles. And the reason is because he has been tested many, many times. And in those tests, he learned, he became educated. He learned that he is a self, a capital S self. And there is no power in the world that could defeat him. And the same stands for us. We learn that spiritual tests burn the sediments of fear circulating in our bloodstream, and these tests bring in the fiery current of light. There's our straight knowledge, let's call it, that this light coming in from the intuitional plane burns away the accumulation of the fear stored in the subconscious mind and correspondingly the astral plane. About the fear of dying, the master says in Supramundane 1, From remote times, people have been accustomed to fear so-called death. They were always intimidated by hell, and at the same time were not told about the meaning of perfectment. I mean, you're born in sin, right? I mean, so you live in hell your entire lifetime, but they left out something. Self-perfectment. One cannot ask people to be brave if they do not know why they are on the earth or where they will be directed when liberated. He says, we entrust our co-workers to repeat as much as they can to people about the great eternity and continuity of life. He explained, we have not left, but have voluntarily remained on earth. We have consciously accepted the earthly life. We could not be far away, but choose to remain with the suffering ones. Our vigil would not be unswerving if we were influenced by fear. As physicians, we know what devastation fear produces in the human organism. Earthly physicians, he goes on to say, should distinguish a special kind of sickness caused by fear. Let them experience our tension. Let them understand how harmful is fear. Do not think that fieriness comes by itself. It must be cultivated through many lives. Now, in the time that's left, I'm going to talk about elementals and the subconscious. The subconscious has a very close connection with certain entities which are called elemental spirits. The elemental spirits are of four kinds: earth, water, air, and fire. People can use these elementals for good or for bad motives. These elemental spirits can be drawn to our subconscious dramatizations, and in soul, certain parts of the subconscious materials. Then they force the conscious mind to blindly follow what they present. For example, the earth, we are told, the teaching tells us that the earth elementals are connected to wealth and money. The water elementals, as we would imagine, relate us to the emotional body or emotions, the air to mental knowledge, and the fire elementals to creative works and spiritual values. Food, water, various emotions, thoughts, and virtues or vices increase or decrease the elementals existing in our bodies. I said that the elemental spirits can be drawn to our subconscious dramatizations and ensoul certain parts of the subconscious materials. This happens in a very interesting way. For example, a man is full of criminal tendencies and images in his subconscious. They're already there. There is a woman who hates him. Through the currents of the thought forms of hatred, this woman unconsciously directs the elements of air or fire to that man. Those elementals, driven by the currents of hatred, are attracted to the subconscious thought forms of the man. The elementals ensoul these subconscious thought forms and then like to see them dramatized. For example, they flood the consciousness of the man with destructive imagery and bind him to movements in alignment with the hatred the woman demonstrated to him. These elementals cause personal stress and strain. They connect all those people who have common ties with each other and create chaos in their life. There's so much we could talk about this. But I want to live longer than tomorrow, so I'm not going to talk about being hung in effigy. It's very interesting. One of the secrets in the advice given by Christ was when he said, love your enemies. If love is present, elementals do not involve themselves with destructive activities. When we have hatred and fear or even malice, we pull out all the corresponding destructive elementals from our subconscious and let the elementals ensoul them and play as actors in the drama of our life. So, in closing, let me give you the aphorism again to say, and I'm repeating myself here, it is, let reality govern my every thought and truth be the master of my life. It must be repeated daily, as many times as it comes to mind, with concentration, faith, and willpower. Concentration, faith, and willpower. And while you're repeating this mantra, remember to align yourself with your higher self, raising your vibration as high as possible, calling down the light of the intuitional levels onto your situation. And then remember, nothing can happen but what is for the best, and you will be guided. We shall continue next week.